From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God, part of his series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Out of Spiritual Death. The text is Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Indeed, it must be so. Those who receive life from the dead are sure to recognize the hand of the Lord in such a resurrection. This is the greatest and most remarkable of all changes that a man can undergo, to be brought out of the grave of spiritual death and made to rejoice in the light and liberty of spiritual life. None could work this but the living God, the Lord and giver of life. Ah me, how well do I remember when I was lying in the valley full of dry bones, as dry as any of them. Blessed was the day when free and sovereign grace sent the man of God to prophesy upon me. Glory be to God for the stirring which that word of faith caused among the dry bones. More blessed still was that heavenly breath from the four winds which made me live. Now know I the quickening spirit of the ever-living Jehovah. Truly Jehovah is the living God, for he made me live. My new life, even in its pinings and sorrowings, is clear proof to me that the Lord can kill and make alive. He is the only God. He is all that is great, gracious, and glorious, and my quickened soul adores him as the great I am. All glory be unto his sacred name. As long as I live, I will praise him.
Thank you.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean? Or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. From the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Dr. Cairns is setting forth Christ's instructions to his disciples as to the proper way to pray, the passage commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. From the very opening words, Our Father, we learn that we are indeed a richly endowed people. In his mercy, our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He supplies our every need. He brings us comfort in time of trouble, chastens us when we go astray, and then he enriches us spiritually, so that we may find strength no matter what may be the trials of life. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message called The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God.
We do not believe in ongoing revelation in the sense of an ongoing inspired revelation of new truth from heaven. But what we do believe in is the vital ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit to the people of God to lead them into all the truth that has been revealed in the gospel and to make Christ a living, vital reality to them. This is not mysticism. This is Bible Christianity. And when we leave the Holy Ghost out, we are leaving out the first and fundamental blessing of being among the sons of God. We have received, says Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of or by God. We have received the Spirit in order to know all that is ours in Christ, in order to be led into all that is ours in Christ, in order to enjoy all that is ours in Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit to comfort, to lead, to teach us all the fullness of God and His Son. And of course, especially, He has given us His Spirit to impart to us power to serve Him. You remember what He said through Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, "It is not by might nor by power, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It is not by might, that is by armies. There is no spiritual strength in numbers. I want you to understand that. That's a great mistake that so many people nowadays make. I read something from Chuck Colson a couple of years ago, where he was upbraiding these Bible thumpers, these old separated Protestants, who believed that the Roman Catholic Church was not a Christian church, and whose people needed to be evangelized and to be reached for Christ. And Colson was saying it's terrible to cut off all these hundreds of millions of people from the church, because if we do that, as if, you know, we could admit them to the church, as if Chuck Colson saying they're Christians makes them Christians. I mean, the thing is ludicrous. But he's saying by cutting them off, we are going out to fight humanism and Islam and all the other things that would confront us in our stand for God. And as we go out, we're cutting off 400 or 500 million soldiers who would fight with us in the army on the same side of the battle. He's got it all wrong. You can talk about numbers when you're talking about votes for Congress or something like that, but when you're fighting a spiritual warfare, it is not by armies. It is not by numbers. And all the numbers in the world, if they are not numbers of in spirit indwelt and spirit filled men and women, they are on the other side. They are what used to be called a fifth column. They are the Trojan horse, however you want to describe them. They are supposedly with you, but they're actually fighting on the other side of the spiritual warfare. It's not by numbers, nor is it by human power. It's not by human greatness. It's not by strength of intellect. It's not by power of utterance. It's not by the mighty efforts of the arm of flesh. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Nowadays, when churches want to get something done, they call a committee meeting. They call especially a committee put together of as many different groups as they possibly can. They advertise it. They give it as much airtime as possible. Even when they're having times of prayer and fasting, the whole idea is now to advertise it because of the impact that it's going to have on other people. I would suggest to you that that is to deny the very meaning of prayer and fasting. And it is to fly completely in the face of what the Lord Jesus teaches us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when if His words mean anything, He says this is something that should not be the matter or the subject of advertising. What did our forefathers do in such a situation? They got before God for an outpouring of His Spirit, for a mighty endowment of His power, because they realized we may multiply numbers, we may exercise great human strength, but unless we have the Spirit of God, we will build nothing worthy of the name of our God. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Father has made this available to us. Jesus said in Luke 11 verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. The heathen, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. That's the promise. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And later on in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says in verse 31, therefore take no thought. The idea of thought is, of course, anxious thought. Do not be full of care or over anxious. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He supplies all your needs. When we were staying in the Greer home for the week of prayer, just this last week, on Thursday night, we all sat down together and we watched Dr. Ken Connolly's latest video on the life of George Mueller. And he has a strange title to that, which actually escapes me as to its fullness at the moment. But the idea, and I may have got the first word wrong, but the idea in it is, as he studied Mueller's life, that it was a challenge to his comfort. In other words, he said, as I sat and studied the life of George Mueller, with thousands of orphan mouths to feed, with tens of thousands of pounds, that would be going in those days into hundreds of thousands of dollars to raise. This is the middle of the last century, mind you. Without making the need known to anyone on earth but God. Dr. Connolly said, as I pondered that, it ruined my comfort. You see, we can pay lip service. He supplies all our needs as long as we worry enough about it. He supplies all our needs as long as we work hard enough. Well, obviously we're supposed to work hard. But the simple final truth of the matter is, God does supply the needs of His people. And we come crying, "Our Father," we are saying, "Lord, we believe Your word when You said, 'Open Your mouth wide and I will fill it.' I'll supply your need." Not only so, but He tells us, as our God and Father, He comforts us in all our trouble. The psalmist put it very clearly in Psalm 103 and verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." As a father pitying his children, God pities His people. His heart is moved toward them. He understands them. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust when we don't remember it ourselves. There are times, and this is a strange thing to say, but it is true, it runs contrary to what all too many people have as their vision of God. But there are times when Christians are far harder on themselves than the holy God of heaven is. And so many preachers have the picture of God imprinted in the minds of Christians that God is standing behind them. I always think of this in terms of a teacher of judo that I knew back in Belfast. He was as quick as a cat. His reflexes were like lightning. He was a little slight fellow. If you'd been wanting to have a fight with anybody to show your manhood, you'd have picked on him. You'd have thought, here's a weakling if ever there was one. He was a weakling with a black belt with I don't know how many dans to it, and he could have killed you on the spot. And he used to teach his students. In a strange way, he would stand in front of them, put a club in their hand, and just to make it all the more interesting, there was a nail projecting from the club. He'd turn his back to him and say, "Right, hit me." Well, we don't like to do that. You know, don't like to hit a man with his back to us? Go ahead, hit me. That club never did hit him. As soon as they moved, next thing they knew, they were on their back. But as I get the picture of the man, the fellow standing behind him with the club, that's the picture so many people have of God. There's the Christian and he's struggling. No, he's not perfect. Does the Lord know that? But there he is standing with this big club in his hand and he's just ready to clobber you as soon as you walk out of line. It's not the picture of God in Scripture. Sure, God is a God of holiness and He calls us to holiness. But He says, He puts away our sins as far as the east is from the west. He does not remember those sins against us. Now sometimes we can't forget those sins, but God says, "I have forgotten them." And then it says He remembers that we are dust and we forget that we're dust. I've often quoted to you the words of E.W. Bullinger, that God forgets what we all too often remember, and God remembers what we all too often forget. He remembers that we're only dust. And He pities us. Sure, as we'll see in a moment, He often has to correct us. But it's done in pity. It's done in love. When we come to cry, "Our Father," we are acknowledging that God has a heart of pity and of kindness toward us. He comforts us in all our tribulation. Paul said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." And of course, He does chasten us for our good. Paul says that our earthly fathers for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He, that is our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And I want you to notice that's the whole purpose of chastening. Chastening is never God losing His temper. God can't do that. That would be sin. Chastening is never just an orgy, and I use that word deliberately. It's never an orgy of wrath. Chastening is always to make us partakers of God's holiness. It's the mark of sonship. Paul went on in Hebrews 12 to say, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We're not chastened, corrected. We're not sons.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.